Okay, the title today is Build One Another Up. Kind of the passage we have read is just a snippet out of quite a long debate in 1 Corinthians 14, kind of where Corinth is obsessed with the gift of tongues, and Paul is trying to hang on to the fact that tongues is good and is important, but actually isn't the be-all and the end-all of everything. And his main point is that if you come to a meeting and everyone speaks in tongues, no one knows what's going on, and it doesn't really help anybody other than the person that is speaking in the tongue themselves. So what he says is, it would be much better if actually a few of you came, and rather than speaking in tongues, actually shared words of prophecy, because actually everyone would understand them, and everyone would be built up by them. So just kind of, let's read you verse 4, and perhaps we could have the next slide. Thank you so much. Paul says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. That word edifies means build up, hence the title this morning, Build One Another Up. And tongues is important. We've been thinking about discipleship over this term. In fact, over more than this term. Last term, when we looked at one section of discipleship, which was really about our personal relationship with God. And actually, there was a sermon all about tongues in that section of our teaching about discipleship. It's online. You can go and listen to it if you want to find out more about that. But kind of one of the key things about tongues is it feels like it doesn't benefit us, but when we do it, it builds us up. It draws us closer to God, even though we may not kind of realize what is going on. But then Paul says, but when people prophesy, actually it doesn't just build up the individual, it builds up the whole body. And so this term we're thinking much more about kind of discipleship in terms, not just of our relationship as individuals to God, but actually our relationship to each other and how we need to help each other in our discipleship. And that's why I want to spend some time talking about discipleship, about prophecy this morning. So just the context of this. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the difference between gifts and ministries. And we talked about how in Ephesians 4, Paul talks about five different areas of ministry that probably all of us kind of exercise in one way or another. Another good talk to listen to. If you want to try to work out how you connect with that, there's a really good online survey you can use. Brian, can we have the next slide? And if you just go to that, there's a whole lot of questions. It will really help you make sense of how God's made you and therefore better understand how you might play your part in the body of Christ. And one of the things we were saying was, there are ministries which kind of are indicative of how God has made us. And then there are gifts that God gives us to use from time to time, a bit like tools. We talk about the ministry of a prophet. That's a little bit like our identity, the way God has wired us. But we also talk about the gift of prophecy, someone sharing a prophetic word from time to time. And that's something that anyone can do, not just people that kind of have the ministry of a prophet. And it's that gift rather than the ministry that I want to talk about this morning. I hope that makes sense. And thanks, Brian. Could we go to the next slide? What Paul makes really clear in this passage is why prophecy is so important and that it's something that we should all aspire to do. He says, follow the way of love, and love sets the context for this. This isn't about our ego. It's about how we can bless others and share God's love with them. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Actually, I love receiving gifts. It's my birthday on the 24th of April. I am happy to receive gifts from any of you. Just get that plug in now, particularly my wife. The expensive ones tend to come from her. Only because I like man toys. I don't know what it is, They're all expensive is the trouble. I don't know what it is about blokes. But actually, it should be the same with spiritual gifts. We have a Heavenly Father that wants to bless us with good things. And actually, we should be as keen about receiving from Him as we are as keen to receive from our loved ones, kind of when it's our birthday. So, you know, we should have hearts that are open to receive, because God has an open heart to give. And then Paul hones it down and says, especially the gift of prophecy. And he actually finishes this whole section at the end of the chapter by reiterating that, which is why I had Denise read that last verse. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and don't forbid speaking in tongues. He's saying it's something we should all aspire to. Now, last term, we had a session when we're thinking about our relationship with God about how we hear God ourselves. Particularly kind of this, just trying to kind of make it clear that, you know, being a Christian is about having a relationship with God. And relationships are two-way. You know, yeah, we're used to the idea of talking to God in prayer, but actually God wants to speak to every one of us. And we talked a bit about how God does that. And those principles we talked about then really apply to the stuff we're talking about today. So again, good to dip back into that, kind of, if you get a chance. Before I just unpack what I want to say, it's also just important to understand the difference between prophecy in the Old Testament age and prophecy in the New Testament age, because it's the New Testament age we live within. In the Old Testament, God raised up prophets to speak to his people. He raised up particular people at particular times to bring particular messages to his people. And those messages were authoritative. They were speaking the very words of God to them. And woe betide anyone that ignored what they said. In fact, they were so authoritative that many of them were written down for us in the scriptures. And they have lasting authority. It's God's word for us and for all people for all time. That's Old Testament prophecy. But New Testament prophecy is a very different thing. And we find it defined here in this passage, kind of, that Paul shares with the Corinthians. And if we could just have the next slide. Thank you so much. That's great. The New Testament definition, it couldn't be more different. Everyone, it'd be helpful if I'd actually typed it out right, wouldn't it? That is really, really, really embarrassing. He who prophesies, hang on. Right. But everyone who prophesies, so everyone who prophesies, there should be a prophesies in there, speaks to men for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. I know the vicar's useless, but you've got that, haven't you? Everyone who prophesies speaks to men and women, sorry, it's an old NIV, for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So it's not predictive, it's not authoritative, it's about building people up. And that's really important to hang on to, because that's kind of what God is wanting us to do. And those are amazing things when you think about it. You know, when you prophesy, it's about strengthening someone. Who, when they are facing a big challenge in life, doesn't need to be strengthened, doesn't need someone to come alongside and find a way of imparting strength to them. Kind of, I know that I do. I can think back to particular occasions in my life when someone shared something that they believed God was saying to me, and it made a radical difference to my life. I still have a small, very grotty plastic soldier sitting on a shelf in my study that was given to me when I was 20. And it was because someone shared some verses of scripture with me, and actually it was those verses to Joshua about being bold and strong. And how God saw me, and then they gave me that as a physical reminder of it. And actually, it was something that had a turning point in my attitude to how I saw myself. Instead of being fearful, seeing myself as God had made me, I hung on to it because it made a difference in my life. And you know, there have been many seasons in my life when actually what I feel called to feels difficult. And if you don't have stuff happening in your life that does not feel difficult at times, then please share me the secret of how you deal with it. I would love to know, because none of us are immune to that. We all need strength. And that's why this gift is so important, because it can be God's way of imparting strength to us. Who doesn't like to be encouraged? Do you like being encouraged? Does anyone like being discouraged? Someone likes being discouraged? Oh, all right, that's an interesting way of looking at life. He's being discouraged. No, that's an interesting one. We'll talk about that later. I love it when just someone comes along and says, "That was good today, Chris." Or comes along and says, "Yeah, I really like the way you do that." I don't know about you, it makes me... Does that make you feel better when people say things like that to you? I don't know what it's like in your workplaces. You know, you see some workplaces where it becomes almost positively toxic because the only words that are passed on are words of criticism. And actually, rather than helping people to do their job well, what happens is their confidence starts to ebb away and it starts to become incredibly destructive. Yet when actually words that are positive are spoken, truthful words, not lies, truthful words, actually people suddenly actually have the confidence to do better. Actually, the atmosphere changes and people perform better. You know, carrots are much more effective than sticks. I don't know why employers don't work that one out, but never mind. We all benefit from encouragement. Who, when they are feeling awful, when they are feeling like the wheels are coming off the bus of their life, doesn't feel that they need comfort? I've been struggling. I've probably been doing a good job of being a wimp this week, kind of having man flu, and I'm sure you ladies would not have had any problem with it. But I've had kind of this week when I've had this kind of coldy, flu-y thing, and when the Panadol kind of runs down, I start to get shivery. And you know what I've really wanted to do at times? Just get on the settee with a quilt around me and feel warm, because I just felt so blinking shivery. I've just felt like, because of something physical, I've wanted to be comforted. And you know, this is the spiritual equivalent, I guess, to that quilt, if you like. It's when things are tough, it's about God coming alongside through his people and bringing comfort to our lives. And you know, when we're hurting, when we're broken, isn't that something that we need? Okay, some notes. This is, prophecy is not meant to be predictive. If you look at the New Testament age, I can only think of two specific prophecies out of many, many thousands that would have been given that are actually recorded in the New Testament. So what is shared in the prophetic word isn't like an Old Testament prophecy that's written down for all times. It's not necessarily predictive. It isn't meant to be kept forever. It's about imparting strength, encouragement, and comfort to an individual at a particular time in a particular situation, or even to a group of people, to a congregation. That it always sits under the authority of Scripture. You know, God gives prophetic words. He prompts us. God doesn't contradict himself. So kind of, we feel like God is telling us to go and have an affair with someone, we might have got that wrong, because God has said all time in his word, do not commit adultery. You know, God isn't in the business of contradicting himself. So kind of, we need to kind of hang on to some, you know, the sensible principles and kind of see prophecy in the light of the authority of Scripture. It sits under it. But that then leaves us this big question of how we actually do it. Thanks. And I'm going to belt through these. By faith, Romans 12, Paul says, if a man's gift is prophesying, then he uses it in proportion to his faith. And I find that a fascinating observation, because I think often we think we don't hear God because it doesn't feel like it's absolutely crystal clear, Cecil B. DeMille voice or neon light kind of character. If it was like that, how would faith be involved in it? Prophecy isn't kind of concrete. It's elusive, and we have to kind of work to try and make sense of what God is saying because it involves faith. If it wasn't elusive, if it was totally concrete, it would not require faith. So it's not an exact science. It's us trying to make a sense of how God is prompting us and then having the courage to share it. And therefore, the next thing is it requires sensitivity. Talks about testing it. I think it has implications for how we share it. When we share prophetic words, it ought to be high on grace and low on obligation. If you go up to someone and say, "Oh, Carol, God says you really need a makeover, darling." That just might hit my bank balance quite hard. Okay, mistake, you know. Carol's going to go away saying, "Is Chris saying God says I look a total mess?" You know, and she looks lovely, you know. But where you say, actually, "Oh, darling, you know, would you like a makeup? Would you like to have some money to spend on some makeup? Don't you feel different about that?" You think I'm what I'm after, okay. You just got a suspicious nature. Never mind. If you haven't got a suspicious nature. But if you get what I mean? You can say something to someone in a way that kind of leaves them kind of having had this thing dumped on them and feeling like God's dumped it on them. And if it's wrong, and we do get it wrong, how do they then deal with it? But after you actually just say, "I was just wondering about this, does this make any sense to you?" It gives someone the freedom to say, "Well, actually, yeah, that might make sense. It could be so-and-so." And they can accept it or they can reject it, but they don't necessarily get damaged by it. How do we do it? I actually think these things kind of pick up on our actual natural senses. I think often when people actually experience God speaking to them, it's using the senses that we have. Sometimes we kind of see something in our mind. Sometimes we see something physically that we pick up on and kind of God speaks to us through it. Sometimes we kind of hear something. There's words in our head. Generally, it's not an audible voice. Sometimes kind of taste comes in, or feeling comes in our body. There's a pain we didn't have before, and it kind of indicates God is saying something. Sometimes we just know something. So it seems to me God speaks through words, he speaks through pictures, he speaks through knowledge, he speaks through scripture, and he speaks through action. And we're all wired differently. We may find from time to time God speaks to all of us and through all of us in all of those ways. But probably some of us will find actually we more naturally just kind of have words that come into our mind, or we see words, or we might more naturally have pictures. And it's all about how we're wired, you know, because we're all different. It's having the courage to speak it out. Experience also tells me that we can make it a lot more complicated than it is. Often if I ask God, "Would you give me a word for someone?" It's often a bit like going shopping with Carol and Karis, actually. It's often the first thing you find, the first thing that comes to your mind. Does this not happen when you go shopping? You see the coat you want in the first shop, but you still look at every shop in Victoria Place before you go back to the first shop. And often it's the first thing that can come into your mind that you think, "Oh no, that couldn't be God," that you keep thinking, and then you come back to him and realize, actually, no, that is God. And then you have the courage to speak it out. Sometimes it takes sticking for it. I love photographing flowers, and some of you see them on Facebook. You don't see the rubbish. Well, actually, you do see some of the rubbish sometimes, but on the whole, the dross never gets there. Sometimes I will spend ages looking at a flower, trying to work out what angle I need to photograph it at, and I have to keep looking at it and looking at it until finally I see it. And sometimes if we're waiting for a word for someone, we just have to keep waiting until God gives it. So it can come really quickly, but sometimes we have to persist. Okay, I've spoken too long already.